Hey, Love Tribe. Today's episode is brought to you by one of my personal favorites, Cozy Earth. They've got something special for all the mothers out there. So anyone who wants to shower the special woman in their lives with love and the comfort they deserve, listen up. Hands down, Cozy Earth has the best sheets, bedding, pajama sets, and more. So today, I'm excited to share that Relationship Advice listeners get an exclusive 35% off discount. Simply go to cozyearth.com and use the promo code I do at checkout. The first time I tried their bamboo sheets, I was blown away. The comfort level is insane. I just love slipping into their seriously soft and cool sheets after a long day. And for a mom who knows that the struggle of sleep deprivation is real, Cozy Earth's temperature regulating technology has been a lifesaver. No more waking up sweating or freezing. But what really sold me is the quality of the bamboo sheets. They are by far the most comfortable sheets I have ever slept in. They are made to last years, which they have. I think at this point I have about 6 sets of them. And they have a 100-night sleep-free trial and a 10-year warranty, so you know you're getting something that is going to stick around. So if you're ready to prioritize your sleep health and treat yourself or the mom in your life to the luxury she deserves, head on over to cozyearth.com and use the promo code IDO for an exclusive 35% off. Because every mom deserves a good night's sleep, and with Cozy Earth, you can finally get the rest you need. Let's talk about a struggle many of us know all too well. Losing weight. Remember those days when everyone was on a juice cleanse or just basically hangry all the time? That was no fun for anyone. Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to shed those pounds. Today, I want to introduce you to Row Body. It's not your typical weight loss program. Instead of all the gimmicks, they offer access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. But here's the real deal. They pair these shots with simple lifestyle changes, helping you lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Plus, over 200,000 people have already seen results with Row Body. So what sets Row Body apart? The support. They handle all the insurance stuff for you and give you access to a provider whenever you need them. And the best part, you can sign up online from home, no doctor's appointments and no waiting rooms. Say goodbye to those days of hangry juice cleanses. With Row Body, losing weight is straightforward and sustainable. Take that first step today and say hello to a healthier, happier you. Kickstart your weight loss journey the right way and head to row.co/IDO. That's row.co/IDO. Sign up today for just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Remember, medication costs are separate. That's row.co/IDO.
What's going on, guys?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for joining us here. We hope you are having a wonderful day. We are just cruising along. End of summer is upon us.
Fall's about to start.
Yeah, one of our favorite seasons, and hope it is beautiful wherever you are listening to us. We appreciate you tuning in. And on today's show, we have a great show with Dr. Marissa Cohen. She is an associate professor of psychology at St. Francis College and the co-founder of the Self-Awareness and Bonding Lab, which studies relationship science. And today we get into division of labor in the relationship,
aka chores and housework.
If you want to boil it down, it's more or less what it is, but it can be a big sticking point in a relationship. It's something that I know Sarah and I have argued about probably more often than we should.
And we're pretty sure you guys have too.
So listen to today's show, because Marissa gives some great tools on how to navigate this. And of course, a big part of it, like a lot of things we talk about, is communication.
Yeah. And like she mentions in the show, using I statements are so important. And we really stress this is so many of the lessons in our course, Spark My Relationship, talks about using I statements. But we've also created a free guide, using I statements in your relationship. And you can download that free guide on the show notes. There's a link in the show notes, and there's also a link in the episode description. So you can grab your freebie there.
Yeah, use it as a cheat sheet. It's not easy to learn how to communicate in this way, but it's such a powerful thing. If you're frustrated with the way your relationship is going, you have the power to change it. So download that cheat sheet and use these I statements. It's like magic. It's like sorcery. Because when you say you want something, rather than nagging, be like, it annoys me when you don't do the dishes. If you say, I would really like it. It really makes me feel good when the dishes are done. And there's different ways to phrase that. So check out that cheat sheet and you will be able to, I don't want to say manipulate, because that's not what's happening, but get what you want out of the relationship.
And if that cheat sheet is leaving you wanting more, you can check out our course, Spark My Relationship, at sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. And that will bring you to a special page just for ID Podcast listeners. And there's a special offer just for you guys there. So we hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Marissa, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Marissa, we've given our listeners a little overview, told them about your work at St. Francis College. So why don't you take a minute, tell us about yourself and why you enjoy researching and helping people improve their relationships.
Sure. So I am a psychology professor in Brooklyn, and also the co-founder of the Self-Awareness and Bonding Lab. And basically, it's a lab that covers all different aspects of relationships. We cover everything from what makes relationships successful to infidelity. And we work with a lot of students, kind of helping them to answer their own relationship questions from an academic perspective. And I absolutely love connecting academic research with real world issues and just branching the two so people can understand the science a little bit better and also find ways to apply it to their everyday lives.
Well, today's topic is one that is really important to a lot of relationships and can definitely be a object of tension, and that is division of labor in the relationship, and so inside the household, really. So why don't we talk about why that can create such problems, and then we can talk about how to communicate around it so that we don't face those issues.
Yeah, definitely. That is one of the hot topics in research, and it has been for a while, because as you mentioned, it can lead to a lot of strife within the relationship if things aren't discussed early on. And I think that a lot of people, especially in opposite sex relationships, tend to fall along, you know, these gender stereotypical patterns when they have these views about like what should be going on in the household. And that isn't always healthy. And, you know, if discussions aren't had early on in a relationship about who's going to do what, this can lead to a lot of problems down the road.
Like a lot of things in a relationship, I know you cited a study in one of your articles that it found, I think there was 32 couples, and that if there's ambiguity around the division of labor in the household, a lot of times that leads to relationship dissatisfaction. So the key being ambiguity. And when I hear that, I think lack of communication, that is just you're not talking about it. You're assuming that your husband takes out the trash, or the husband is assuming that the wife is going to do the dishes, if we want to go along those gender roles. So how can we start that discussion of, hey, this isn't sexy topic, but let's talk about how we're going to handle things once, you know, really you want to start as soon as possible in the relationship. Obviously, first date, you don't need to be talking about these things, but the earlier I feel like you tackle it, the better.
Yeah, you make a lot of really great points in it, and it's like completely accurate. It's probably not something that I would walk into, as you say, on the first date and say, hey, so let's talk about our future life together and, and how we're going to divide labor within our household. Because that's probably a little bit too much right out of the gate. But once you kind of, you know, navigate the relationship a little bit more and it's a serious, committed relationship, it is an important conversation to have. Some of it you're probably going to start to see come up organically, just based upon even like early dating experiences. Though, you know, I've done a lot of research on early dating, and even couples that tend to be more egalitarian within the household rely a lot on these very gender stereotypical roles. And what I mean by that is, you know, the male tends to be the initiator. He's the one that's going to plan the dates, and he's the one that's going to initiate a second date. Whereas the woman, she's more like responsive to what he is initiating. So even early on in a relationship, you might see people falling into these gender stereotypical patterns. And you kind of want to be careful that if that's not how you want to extend your relationship and how you want to be once you move in together, or once you start, you know, a joint life together, then that conversation needs to be had. And something else that's really, really important is it's not necessarily just a one-time conversation. It's something that needs to be renegotiated throughout the length of your relationship. Because if you think about it, our roles change. So, you know, let's say you have a discussion where the person who's working the longer hours, you know, they're the ones who might not necessarily do as much work. So maybe it's the person who comes home earlier is the one that's going to prepare dinner. That role can change as jobs change, as you move to a different area. So you constantly need to reopen that conversation as the nature of your relationship varies.
I think that tip right there is so helpful, because just from our experience, we've been together for 10 years. And throughout that time, like you've said, our lives have changed and evolved. We've had different careers, we've had a baby. So like things change, and like what I used to do, like make dinner, like Chase, once we had a baby, Chase then took on dinner, but we did have to kind of discuss that and have that conversation. So it's important to, like you said, communicate about that. And then one, almost kind of be open to that change, because some people may just be set in what's comfortable for them, but it may not work for the partner and overall for the relationship.
Right. And it's a very timely topic, just to kind of give you some information from my personal life, which fits in with this perfectly. Right now, I live pretty much walking distance from work. So my husband is the one who's commuting. And because of that, I'm the one that will do a lot of the household chores, like throwing clothes into the, you know, for the laundry or starting dinner. And we're in the process of actually moving to a house in the suburbs. And he's going to be the one that's going to be, you know, within 2 miles of work. And I'm going to be the one that's going to be commuting for over an hour. So our roles are going to change at that point. And we've already started discussions of what we expect of one another. Because I think when you make an assumption, then it becomes problematic, because you don't necessarily know what your partner knows. You really have to open those lines of communication.
Like so many things in the relationship, we can't assume that our partner knows what we want and expect the change. So starting that dialogue and explicitly laying these things out, like you said, it's not the sexiest topic, but it can be a real point of tension. So what will that conversation look like specifically? How can we bring that up and talk about our needs in a way that's going to be productive?
I think the most important key is to be incredibly honest to the point where you feel, you know, sometimes honesty is difficult because you don't want to necessarily seem pushy if you have a lot of needs that you feel need to be met. But you need to share whatever is on your mind so your partner understands. Also, you know, you need to sit down and have this conversation when this is the main topic that you want to discuss. If you have a whole bunch of other issues or other potential sources of conflict, everything is going to wind up getting conflated and you're not going to have a productive conversation. So just, you know, sitting down and saying, all right, I think we need to reevaluate the way that we share our roles in our home or the way that we approach certain tasks. And it's also really, really important in any kind of conversation, not just necessarily when it comes to the division of labor, is that you're focusing on the behaviors, not the person. And this is like a big, you know, big helpful hint when it comes to conflict too, is that, you know, let's say your partner is not cleaning up after him or herself. So instead of saying something like, you're a slob, you can address the behavior and say, when you leave dishes out in the sink in the morning, it becomes a problem because then I have to clean them and I'm late to work. So let's address who's going to load the dishwasher. So what might seem like a small trivial thing, like loading the dishwasher, if you don't address that early on, it's going to build up and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's going to become this like unnecessary sore spot within your relationship. And again, going back to that idea of addressing the behavior, not the person, is a lot of people will kind of go to these areas when in conflict or when communicating that, you know, seem to kind of help them, quote, like, I guess, win the argument. And you don't want to go there. You want to have an honest communication where you're not blaming one another.
I think it's what you're saying is so true. And what I tend to struggle with is we actually just had another, interview right before this one where we kind of talk about common issues that happen in the relationship, and some can be households, some can be not. But one of the tips that they advised is that sometimes, you know, you really have to ask yourself, is it the end of the world? Like, is what I'm really upset about, is it just because I don't like doing the dishes, or is it a deeper rooted reason that you don't feel appreciated because your partner doesn't help out when right, asked? So I think that it's hard for me personally to find that balance of whether I need to really address it or I just let it go because it's really not that big of a deal to, you know, wash two bowls in the sink and take out the trash.
Right. Definitely. There is kind of this like careful balance where you have to evaluate, is this something that I bring up? The problem, of course, is that if you don't bring it up and, you know, not washing the dishes in the morning turns into, you know, not helping with laundry, which then turns right into not vacuuming. So it can kind of be like a slippery slope. So it's important to address these behaviors on the earlier side so they don't pile up. But it's, again, it's not necessarily whether or not you address it, but how you address it. That's important. So not going in an argumentative or combative way and just explaining, kind of using I language. When this happens, this is how that behavior affects me. Because like you mentioned, it might not seem like a big deal to just leave a couple of bowls in the sink in the morning, but to your partner, that may be a huge deal, which, you know, is indicating I don't value your time, or, you know, I don't feel it's necessary for me to do this. So it could be a big thing. It could be a small thing, but without, you know, communicating, you never really know.
I totally follow Sarah's line of thinking there of like, when do you just let it go? And I think you got to be careful because then resentment can also right. build up where Sarah could say, I'll just let it go. It's not that big of a deal. I'll do the dishes. Mm-hmm. And then it could just be that one thing. And then it just builds up and you can start to resent. It might not even be a little, you know, a huge thing, but if it's 1% of resentment on top of, you know, another 0.5% here, and suddenly it might not even be super negative in your mind, but I think in relationship, we want it to be as good as possible. And if that's something that can be addressed, like you said, the right way with eye language, Sarah, I tell Sarah, like, I want her to tell me if there's something that bothers you. And that goes throughout everything in the relationship. So not just division of labor, but it might not be something that bothers you. It might be something that you want. And we could talk about in the bedroom. And a lot of times couples just assume it's like, I want my partner to do this, or I want to have sex more often. But you never directly communicate your desires. And so nothing's going to change, and you're going to either not be as happy as you could be. You could be resentful. So it's just about, definitely you don't want to like just say everything you want all the time. You know, it has to be this way. But I think that, you know, we go through life at one time, and it should be in a way that it feels good to you within reason and compromising, but not to just let things go as the solution. But the flip side of that, not obviously nagging everything, but finding that balance. And we talk about it on this show, is like, what are your deal breakers? What are your values? Obviously, you don't, those cannot be compromised. And then within that, we got to find that balance.
Right. I think you make a very important point, is that, you know, over time, resentment can build up. And it's not just about communicating things that are necessarily problematic. As you say, it could be communicating what you need from the relationship, because if you think about it, it's not selfish. It's helping your partner get a better understanding. And when your partner has a better understanding of you, that's going to strengthen your joint experience. It's going to strengthen your relationship. So it's important to kind of let them in on your own world, so they get a deeper appreciation for who you are as an individual. And it goes for everything in the relationship. And what's interesting is also when it comes to division of labor, it could be a small thing, like, you know, putting a couple of bowls away for breakfast. But it could also be indicative of your overall values and how you view the world. Because it comes down to, you know, should we fall into, if it's a male and female in the relationship, if that's the coupling we're talking about, should we resort to these gender stereotypical roles? Like, what happens when the woman goes and has a child? Is she going to be expected to quit her job, stay home and take care of the child while the husband is a provider? So it's important to have these discussions early on before you have children. So you're both going into this relationship with your eyes completely open.
That's a good point. And yeah, you just can't assume that your partner is going to read your mind, or that your partner is going to fit into that stereotypical role that you think is going to happen, whether it's a new relationship or you've been in it for a while. And it's such a simple concept of like, communicate what you want. But I feel like it's not innate, and it's not all the time. And then we get frustrated. It's like, why can't they just do that thing that I want them to do? And it's
that
like,
thing.
Yeah. And I like how you mention it. It's not just about, it's about communicating your needs, but it's about your partner having a better understanding of who you are, what you want. And that's going to in turn create more intimacy and bring you guys closer together. So it's not to be looked at as a negative thing. It's actually incredibly positive.
Right. And, you know, don't get me wrong, these conversations can be potentially very difficult to have. It depends where you are in your relationship. Some of these conversations are difficult throughout the relationship. But, you know, it comes down to understanding where the other person is coming from and how they view the world to decide whether or not you can take that leap and spend your life or however long you will spend with this person with them. You know, beyond just gender roles, discussing things like finances or whether or not you want choose to have kids or whether or not a pet is important to you or where you want to live. So these conversations are important to have early on in the dating process so you get a clearer picture of who that person is.
In your research, have you come across any specific ways that have helped couples manage the division of labor in the household, like whether it's setting up a calendar or like a list? Is there anything that you found to work better than others? But first, we want to take a quick break to tell you about today's sponsors.
Today's sponsor is Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in the world. It's a quick, fun, and efficient way to learn another language.
So I know I've shared with you guys that my summer goal is to improve my Spanish before we head back to Costa Rica. And so far, good, right? You agree?
See.
I love using Babbel because the lessons are designed to get you speaking confidently in your new language and actually remember what you learn.
See. I have seen Sarah improve a lot because she can say more than see, which is yes, and as I'm doing here, and practicing because she is able to do it really throughout the day on the app in between, you know, recording podcasts, taking care of Stella, dealing with me and my antics, and it'll get you speaking a new language within weeks.
Yeah. And although the lessons are, you know, 10 to 15 minutes long, sometimes as a busy mom and entrepreneur with the podcast, I don't have 10 to 15 minutes in a row. So I do like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. And for me, that works and it might work for you. And Babbel helps you get ready for all kinds of practical situations like ordering food at a restaurant or asking for directions or
chatting with friends.
Yeah, chatting with friends or our 3-year-old daughter, Stella, who I think my Spanish is a little bit better than hers now, but we're working on it. That's my other goal.
So go to Babbel.com and use promo code IDO to get 50% off your first 3 months. That's Babbel, Babbel.com, promo code IDO for 50% off your first 3 months.
Today's episode is also sponsored by our course, Spark My Relationship.
We started IDO Podcast to get information to improve our own relationship. We thought at the very least we'll be able to do that and then to share it with our listeners. The guests are great and we've gotten a ton of valuable information, but we found that if we don't actually deliberately take the time to implement the strategies and tools that our guests give us, we weren't seeing the real lasting benefits that we desired in our relationship. And that's why we created the Spark My Relationship course. We've collaborated with 15 psychologists and therapists to create a comprehensive relationship course that not only teaches you the skills needed to create a successful and lasting relationship, but the tools to execute it.
By enrolling in the online course, you'll have access to the same strategies and tools that marriage therapists teach their clients, including therapist-taught video lessons with workbooks and exercises to help you work towards accomplishing your relationship goals in less than 90 days. You'll also learn how to detox unhelpful relationship habits and learn healthy ways to interact. You'll learn how to disagree respectfully and communicate mindfully, as well as how to improve intimacy and reignite your sex life, and so much more. Spark My Relationship isn't just a course for struggling couples. It's a course for couples who want to see their relationship flourish. If this is you, then you are a perfect fit for the course. So for a special offer for our I Do podcast listeners, head over to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Again, for 30% off the course, plus special bonuses just for I Do podcast listeners, visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
None of my specific research, most of my personal research just focuses on perceptions of early dating experiences and what makes a date successful or not. But I have looked into other people's research, and really it just comes down to communicating. It comes down to being open and sharing, you know, how you actually want to divide the relationship. And, you know, some research has even shown that when there is unequal division of labor in a relationship, this can actually even up the risk of divorce and conflict within a relationship. So there are extremely detrimental side effects of not sharing the work within the relationship evenly.
And I would like to point out, for each individual couple, it is different. I'm a huge list person. Like, I love to write things down and make a list and put it on the refrigerator and like check it off as I go. I find that that's super helpful for me. And I find that I feel like something has been accomplished. So that would work for Chase and I, or at least me. But for other couples, it may be, you know, something else. So finding what works for you to help you stick to whatever agreements you've made, I think is really important as well.
Right. I agree. I'm a total list person too. I mean, I still have like the old school planner. I refuse to put anything into my phone because I love just having post-its and checking things off because it's a wonderful feeling of accomplishment. So that's personally, you know, what works for me. But as long as everyone, you know, involved in the relationship is clear on how you want to approach tasks, and is able to accomplish them in a way that works for them, then that's fine.
Well, Marissa, I want to ask you a few questions about your work as a professor and also in the lab. But before we go on, are there any other major things as far as in division of labor that we haven't addressed that are important for our listeners?
I think we covered it quite a bit. But the main thing that I want to kind of emphasize is that this is a constant negotiation, like I said before, because relationships do change. And as the relationships change, the way in which they function is going to be altered as well. So it's important to realize that what you had and what worked for you in the past within the relationship isn't necessarily going to work in the future. And that's okay. It's the same thing. It's the way in which you approach the discussion, not the discussion itself. So it's important to have difficult conversations within a relationship because it can help you grow.
And I've said it on this podcast before, but there's a great quote. I'm not sure who it's by, but it's more or less the success of your life can be measured in the amount of difficult conversations you have. And I think in a relationship, it's so true that if we just kind of go through and expect things to work themselves out and don't really communicate because it's hard and difficult to have those conversations, then you're going to have a mediocre, if not unhappy, relationship. But you're going to have to put in the work, have those difficult conversations if you want to take it to the next level and really experience the most joy and happiness, whether it's in relationship or all elements of life. So it's worthwhile. It might not be easy to do, but I think you've given us some great tools as tackling this one part of a relationship. And I want to ask you, I mentioned, I always think it's interesting when we have guests on that are involved in academia and in research, and you being a professor and working with students. I think it's so important because we don't learn the topics that we cover on this podcast. Part of the reason we started this podcast is we just wanted to learn for ourselves. And I never took any classes in college about the closest thing I took was a business management class, but it's so, mm-hmm. I wish it was required in starting in elementary school, like how to communicate with others. Like, it's so fundamental to being successful in this life. So as a professor and as a researcher, how have you found that, like, on the ground, like the reception from the students and just the value that it creates? Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. First, I just want to echo what you said, that I completely agree. I think that we should be talking about relationships, all different types of relationships, romantic, platonic, you know, effective collaboration in a work environment, from elementary school. Because a lot of times when relationships are brought up, they are brought up in psychology classes, depending upon the courses that you take. And, you know, they are brought up, like you mentioned, you said, in a business type of class. But just having a course alone to explore the different types of relationships and how they can affect our mental and emotional health, I think is really, really imperative. And my path to studying relationship science is atypical. My background, my PhD is actually in educational psychology. So I did a lot of early research just exploring interventions to improve students' content-specific vocabulary. Like, that's where I started. And when I began teaching full-time at the college, I was teaching a lot of research methods and experimental courses. So very research-heavy classes. And a lot of students approach those classes with fear, because it tends to be packed with statistics and very challenging. And I just noticed I would bring in examples for students from the social psychology realm and starting to kind of put in a little bit of relationship science in there, because there's so many great connections between people's real lives and academic research. So when I started talking about other studies in relationship science, I just noticed the way that students just perked up, and it really resonated for them. And they started to pick topics for their experimental theses in the area of relationship science. So I started to run with that, and I wound up developing a course called Attachment and Attraction, which is a seminar course, which basically focuses on the life cycle of relationships. From early attachment to your caregivers, all the way through, you know, bereavement at the end of life with your partner. And from that, I worked with my co-founder, and we created the lab. And what's really great is it's driven by students' interest. So if they have a question that's of importance in their own life, they bring that question to us, and we work with them to develop it into an academic research study. So whether it's going out there and conducting an experiment, handing out surveys, we'll work with them to examine the literature, see what's already known about the topic, where is there area for further exploration, and to figure out the most effective way to do that.
Well, that is an interesting story of how you got into it. And it's nice to hear, like, that the students, it kind of led you on that path based on what the students were choosing. And it kind of goes to show that there's an interest there. And that's the great thing, I think, with technology, with podcasts. I know personally, I've been exposed to so many different ideas through actually podcasts and certainly ours and interviewing people, but other podcasts that I never learned or never would have come across otherwise, or maybe I would have, but probably not. And I think as this information becomes more widely available, maybe we'll see, certainly we are seeing an interest. I know our downloads are going up. So there's people that want this information. Are there any kind of organizations or movements to get that type of curriculum into early education that you know of?
I have seen a couple in New York. There is an organization, it's a nonprofit called the Relationship Foundation. And, you know, I follow them on social media and they pretty much talk about getting, you know, a curriculum around relationships in the schools early on. And I've just seen that a lot of people have done it on their own with their students, similar to the way that I'm doing it, because there is that interest there. And I think that it's great whenever you can connect academic research to your life and it helps improve it in some way.
Well, no doubt it's going to improve people's lives. It's such an important thing. And being a parent to a three-year-old now, you start to think about all of these things a lot more. And I want to be able to give my daughter the things that, I'm not saying I had a bad childhood or anything, but like, could have prevented a lot of frustration and even now of things in communication if they were established earlier on. And the same way that you learn geography, you learn effective communication skills of using I statements when you want something. Like it's
exactly,
such a
exactly.
fundamental
and
thing.
And it crosses into a lot of different disciplines, relationship science. I mean, you had mentioned that it could cross into business and management. Even just from, you know, my educational psychology background, understanding relationships is important for understanding the connections students have with their teachers or students have with their peer groups in school. So it doesn't always need to be related back to romantic relationships, but understanding these important areas that cross over, like communication, is imperative.
Yeah, well, this podcast is one step towards that little baby step.
Yes.
We're constantly trying to put out great information from people like yourselves and our listeners are out there implementing it in their lives. And maybe, who knows, maybe we have some 6-year olds out there getting ready and getting it early. Or maybe the parents listen, in the car with us so we thank you for giving us and our listeners the information today and continuing to do the important research to get that information. So why don't we finish up by having you tell our listeners where they can find you online and then we'll say goodbye.
Sure. So thank you so much for having me. And if you want any more information about me or my work, my personal website is www.marissatcohen.com. And it's Marissa with one S. And it'll have information about my book, which is From First Kiss to Forever, A Scientific Approach to Love, as well as my social media accounts and ways to reach out to me.
Excellent. Well, we'll have the link to your book and your website on today's show notes page. And our listeners know to go to idupodcast.com to check out those links. And again, thank you so much for joining us on the show, Marissa. And best of luck with all your research and everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Like we mentioned in the pre-show, we do have a guide to complement this interview, and it's the how to use I language in your relationship. So you can access that free download guide by visiting our website, idupodcast.com/161, which is today's episode. And in there will be a link where you can sign up to get the free guide. And if you want more information on our flagship course, Spark My Relationship, you can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock, and you can get the I Do Podcast listener only promotion. So again, that's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get the special offer only for you guys. We appreciate you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.